Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Dominant performance on Monday Night Football last night for the Steelers as they take down the Miami Dolphins 28-15, and a lot of that garbage time points, 12 of them in the fourth quarter for the Dolphins, as Aaron Rodgers, a solid day, 224 yards, two touchdowns at a rating of 126. Kenneth Gainwell, 80 yards rushing on the ground, an average 6 yards per carry. DK Metcalf, 3 catches for 55 yards and a touchdown, including a big stiff arm of Minkah Fitzpatrick on his way to the end zone. So the Steelers, now 8-6 of 1-2 in a row, will play against the Detroit Lions, 4:25 this upcoming Sunday. Mike Tomlin will address the media today at noon. More headlines, 93.7thefan.com. Headlines, they are powered by Bowser Genesis of Monroeville.
Monday Night Football!
Here is a shot for Waddle, underthrown and picked off by Asante Samuel. Try to go to the air here. Rodgers, end zone, got his man. Touchdown, Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Here is a toss in the backfield, Jonnu Smith. And a rushing touchdown on third down. Got it to DK Metcalf. And fighting his way for the touchdown.
You know, they won 4 straight games. They had a lot to play for. Hopefully the belief is starting to pick up, because it's tough to play in the cold weather. And if we can take care of business, then we're going to be hosting the game right here.
I didn't insult Bob. Where is Bob? Well, he's over there. He's a mannequin. He's at the Tomlin news conference today. So it's Limits and I, and we're off to a very friction-filled start, but I think we can bounce back, Limits. You have your Steeler jacket
on. I'm already over it. Hi, Joe. Good morning.
Sometimes there's a little friction because we're both anxious before the show, right? We want to put on a good performance like the Steelers did last night, and there's a little bit of pressure because if we don't put on good performances and the ratings go down, you and I get fired. Correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Luckily, that hasn't happened. In fact, the opposite has happened, thanks to the people out there listening. So I think both of us are in a pretty good place. Where are the Steelers? In a good place? You just heard Aaron Rodgers saying, hopefully, the belief is starting to pick up. Is it with you out there at 412-928-9370? Is the belief starting to pick up that this team could win a playoff game, perhaps make a playoff run? That's what we have come here today to discuss. And this is how I'll address all this at the beginning of the show. And by the way, Limits, I had a double-digit Steeler win because the Dolphins stink, mostly.
Yes, you did. You had a 10-point win.
That they would smash the run against a one-dimensional team. That Tua is absolutely tragic. Oh my God, does he stink? Do you know how much they're paying him?
Like $51 million, I think it is.
Wrong. $53 million. $53 million for that? He's horrifying.
Yeah, he's like a convertible. You can't drive him when it's really cold outside.
He stinks. So here's what I would say, and I'm of two minds after this game. And if you don't like that, too bad. Because sometimes a couple of different things can be true. So let's start with this. And it's ironic because the people who want to accuse you and I, fans and some media, of being overreactive are actually the overreactive ones. I'm talking about the Cabalis of the world who, of course, when the Steelers win, say, oh, nobody's talking about firing Tomlin now. Nobody's talking about or booing Renegade now, except until the next loss, and then they'll all be doing that again, constantly accusing us of being overreactive. When that whole line of thinking is built on a fallacy, the fallacy being that the fire Tomlin chants and the booing of Renegade and the overall fan disgust around here was built on like the loss to the Bills or a couple of bad games this season. No, that was built on 8 years running of never coming close to winning a playoff game. That was built on living in a world of high-end mediocrity, but mediocrity nonetheless. The fan disgust was real and justified, even though I wouldn't have been one of the ones chanting fire Tomlin. I got it. I understood it. And it was built not on one loss to Buffalo or a season in which the Steelers were mired at 500. It was a long time coming, and it ain't gone yet if things go south again. So let's not pretend that fans and media were just being overreactive and that they just sway week to week on the Steelers. No, there's an overriding opinion that Mike Tomlin and his football team have been mediocre, high-end mediocre, but mediocre nonetheless for a long, long time, and people got damn sick of it, and they have a right to be damn sick of it, okay? And a win over the Miami Dolphins combined with the Baltimore win doesn't necessarily change that, although you can tell me how much your opinion may have changed at 412-928-9370. I already know they're better than Miami. That's not where they live. They're better than Miami. They're not the Dolphins. They're not the Jets. They're not the Raiders, which I think may be the only three teams in the AFC who have gone longer than the Steelers without a playoff win. So that was a good performance, and they proved they're not the Dolphins. Good. That's a good thing. These are the Steelers. We know this. They're not the dregs of the league. Are they a team that can make a playoff run? That's yet to be decided. And the fact of the matter is, nothing's been decided yet. The fact of the matter is, they're going to probably, very likely, need to win this division just to get in because they're only sitting here at 8-6. They got lucky in Baltimore, and they played really well last night against what I would consider a low-end, mediocre team and a horrible quarterback. That part remains true. All that disgust was 9 years in the making. 9 years of not coming close, really, at all to winning a single playoff game. It was justified. And a couple of games doesn't erase it. And if people are feeling a little better after a couple games, that doesn't mean that, oh, see, they overreacted then. Now they're overreacting this way. It's just blowing in the wind here, the fans and the media. No, no, no. There's an overriding opinion that until proven otherwise, Mike Tomlin's Steelers have sunk to a land of mediocrity. And a lucky win over the Ravens and a good win, at least a good performance against a fraudulent Dolphins team doesn't change that. That's A. B, I think there are real reasons for hope here. That there could be a playoff win. That there could even be a playoff run. For one thing, the Chiefs are dead. The Wicked Witch is dead. For another thing, the Steelers have a quarterback who commands the game with his mind, with his brain, who is intellectually on top of it, and still has a rocket arm. And that's a really good combination. Can't tell you how many athletes I've spoken to over the years who said, man, when I finally figured things out, I couldn't play anymore. That's why some of them become coaches. Aaron Rodgers has figured it out long, long ago, figured it out. He's you know, high-end football intellect, and he can still sling it. The mobility has sort of eluded him, although he may still have just enough. But that's a really good thing to have. That's something the Steelers haven't had since late-stage Ben. And late-stage Ben didn't have this kind of arm strength still. So that's a really different thing and a really good thing for the Steelers to have, is this Aaron Rodgers. And by the way, watching him, you you can imagine, and you now know why he won four MVPs, right? Imagine this guy with the football brain, that arm, and near elite mobility. That's how you get arguably one of the five greatest quarterbacks of all time. Well, he's still got two of those three things, and if I had to pick which two to still have, those are the two I'd want. The brain and the arm. And mostly how you beat teams in the NFL is with your brain. Remember talking to Ray Horton, Steelers defensive coordinator, a long time ago. You know, how does Brady do this to you and everybody else? And he said, that's what he said. He beats us with his brain. That's what he does. He beats us at the line of scrimmage. He reads defenses. That's kind of a cliche. Can you read a defense? No, that's real. Can you read a defense? Do you know what coverage they're in? Do you know how to change a play? I saw Brady in an interview a couple months ago talking about some of his best plays of the game were changing out of a crap play, even if it wasn't to a good play. Just changing out of a crappy play that may have resulted in a big loss or a turnover and getting nothing out of it, but not having the crap play. Knowing who to attack, when to attack, all that stuff. It's the intellectual side of the game that's most important for a quarterback. And Rodgers has that, and he still has the fast, he's still a Aroldis Chapman, for God's sakes. That throw to Metcalf was unbelievable. Just a rocket in front of a safety flying pass, and then Metcalf made a great play too. So, in the midst of fan angst, anger, and rage still being highly justified around here until proven otherwise, there are kernels of hope. That's one, is they have a quarterback. Two, is it feels like for the first time in a long time, and maybe the first time ever, and this is assuming that TJ Watt comes out of this okay. And I'm going to assume that based on the reporting. And I may even think to, all right, well, this was obviously very serious. They're not going to put him on a football field unless that lung is 1,000% ready to go. I'm also wondering if a week or two off for TJ Watt at this point in the season helps heal the rest of that body. And I'm not sure I remember a time when Hayward, Watt, Highsmith, all went into the playoffs looking like themselves. Maybe this is that year. They look better, deeper, and with the obvious exception of Watt last night, right? I mean, that's a serious issue. Potentially healthier going into a playoff situation than they've been in a long, long time. Cam Hayward's getting better as the year rolls along. And then you want to throw in a Jalen Ramsey here. Samuel makes a play last night. Duggar was back last night. There's reasons for hope. But if you're one of the disgruntled fans, angry, irate, or one of the skeptical still media like myself, you've earned that right. And in my opinion, you get to keep that well-fortified and highly defensible position until this team proves you otherwise, and a lucky win against Baltimore and a win against a bad Dolphin team, good as the performance was, ain't going to do it yet. Let's see what they do in Detroit. That will bring about some believers, even though the Lions no longer have a secondary. I think there's a chance that Rodgers goes in there and riddles that secondary. I think that could be a shootout. Let's see if they get there first. Let's see if they avoid some of the pitfalls of Tomlin teams, not over the last year or over the last month or over the last 3 years or 5 years or 7 years, eight going on nine. Let's see if they avoid some of those pitfalls. Let's see if they avoid a loss to Shedeur Sanders in Cleveland, the way that they lost to Winston and the way that they lost to, who was it, Dorian Thompson, DTR. Okay, let's see if they hang with Detroit. And let's see if it comes down to it. And I still think it will. It might not. You know, if the Steelers take care of business in these two games and the Ravens lose once, and they could certainly lose once, home against New England and at Green Bay, then it's the Steelers' division. And imagine that scenario. You get to rest everybody in the final game. Imagine that. You get a de facto bye and then a home game, and then we can really start talking. But we ain't talking yet. They're 8-6. 412-928-9370. In my mind, all of that can be true. Well-founded skepticism. False accusations of overreacting. And there are some pretty good signs here. Most important position in all of sports is the quarterback. And the Steelers, as Troy Aikman said last night, appear to have a dangerous one who's getting better. All of that can be true. Limits, your quick take on the matter.
I feel a little bit more optimistic, but I am preserving all of my very, very strong judgment of what this team could do in the playoffs until after I see them against Detroit. Because I expected them to beat the Dolphins. We knew that Tua was bad in the cold. We saw Tua being bad in the cold. We knew Aaron Rodgers could lead an efficient offense. It was good to see Minka Fitzpatrick get thrown by DK Metcalf and just the pure strength that DK has on full display. I was surprised that they blew out Miami, but I was not surprised at all that they won. It makes me feel a little bit more optimistic.
Yeah, I mean, sort of what I interpret you're saying there is at least they haven't crumbled after that Buffalo game. And there, right, there is something to be said for that. I think the leadership of guys like Rodgers and Metcalf really showed. And Patrick Queen, by the way. Huge shout out to Patrick Queen, who feels like he's becoming now, over these past couple games, almost the heartbeat of that defense. He played through an injury in Baltimore, a glute injury. I'm not sure a lot of people play through. And then last night, he was just downright violent. He was really, really good. So, Rodgers, Queen, Ramsey, Metcalf, they're being led by those guys, and they were teetering after the Bills game, and they did get it together, you know, emotionally, schematically, all that going into Baltimore. They did do that. So the Steelers didn't crumble. Okay. Again, that's a very low bar and one they always clear. They never just fall apart and go 5-12. We already know that. Let's see where it goes from here. The onus is on them to prove it. And there are some pretty good signs. Some pretty good signs as we sit here right now. 928-9370.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Oh, limitless wonder. Let's go.
Let's start with Logan. He's in Waynesburg.
Hey, Logan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. You back on the bandwagon here? What's going on with you?
I mean, I agree with everything you say, Joe. It's a good win. I'm never going to complain about a win, but there still is some skepticism. And I've felt about Tomlin over the last 3 years that it's been time for a change. And we know what Art thinks about that. But here's the thing. It was a good win. We still let up 5 yards of carry to the Devon Achane.
Yeah, I'm not. Last night was a solid all-around performance. I have zero complaints about last night. They didn't let him get out of the gates. You know, yeah, he's a really good player. He averaged 5 yards of carry. Who cares? He never got out of the gates, and they basically crushed a running game that had been really good. That's one thing I'm not going to do today. Is I have absolutely no complaint. Not a single one about last night's game. That's just me. I appreciate the call. Next. I mean, that was as a good a game as they've played all around all year.
Yeah, right? I don't really have any complaints about it.
There's literally nothing to complain about.
I think the only thing that you can is 64 games in a row, the first quarter, they haven't scored seven or more points. I mean, they looked lifeless in the first quarter, but the Dolphins did too. When they ultimately put it together at the end of the half.
Offensively, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the only, cares that's the only in thing. The end? Who cares?
When they put together four consecutive drives, scoring touchdowns, something they haven't done in 7 years,
yeah,
I'll give them a pass for that first quarter. Here is our guy Vincent in Columbus, who was at the game. I think he was at the game.
Hello, Vincent.
Were you at the game, Vincent?
I was not. I was watching at home. But, yeah, I am kind of in the same boat as you guys. I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm excited about Patrick Queen, the way he played last night, too. But as a side note, I will say it was kind of bittersweet seeing Minka get thrown around. And I even heard after the game, Cam Hayward was talking about how he wishes he was still there. So I didn't know if you guys thought there would be any possibility of a reunion next year, but I thought it was a great all-around performance.
Wait, why would you want Minka to come back?
Well, that's what Cam said after the game last night, so that's why I was wondering if he would come back, because even comparing him and Ramsey, they both have very similar kind of years, so that was just my question.
I don't know about that one. I appreciate the call. I don't see that happening. Last night he got tossed aside like a gnat by DK Metcalf. I think they're, I'm not going to say they're fine at safety because I'm until further notice on that too, but it looks much better at safety for now. Would you agree?
I would definitely agree with that.
Jalen Ramsey, he's had some tough moments this year, but by and large, the move to safety really seems to suit him well.
And yes? I like what Kyle Duggar has also been able to bring them. But yeah, Ramsey is the last line of defense there. Very solid tackler, can make plays in open space. He's been solid with what they've asked him to do.
Next.
Here is Dave. Dave is in Hermitage.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I was impressed at the, and you can correct me if you don't think, but I actually was impressed with a little bit of the coaching adjustments made in that game. An audible made also by Aaron Rodgers, which I think he was kind of left, you know, hey, we can make this call. When he saw that call, and I think it was right about the midway through the third quarter, he called a quick slant, a fake to the running back and a quick slant. That was an adjustment because of where the linebackers were moving around. So that turned out to be a nice game.
Yeah, man, that's...
I just like the adjustments they made.
Yeah.
I thought that was good.
Me too.
And
that's the mental side of the game with Rodgers, right? And that's exactly what I was talking about before. He also caught them with 12 men on the field. And you mentioned something. I love the fact that Mike Tomlin came to play and win and consistently showed that in his decisions. I feel like there's been times in his career where you're like, wait, they're going for it here, but not there. Is he here to like go for broke today? Or what's he doing? There's no consistent theme. Man, last night there was. That was the most times, here it is from ESPN Insights, first time under Mike Tomlin that the Steelers went for it on fourth down 3 times in the first half of a game. 3 times. And one of those was from like their own 28, very early, I think in a scoreless game, a 4th-and-1 from his own 28. I love that. That's the type of thing I want to see. Meanwhile, Mike McDaniel on the other side limits. His team was just clinging. They had nothing to lose, really. They're barely clinging to playoff contention going into the game. They've since been eliminated. And this dude's punting left and right.
He was really frustrated at the, you know, just like he's as I was. And
I heard that was the conversation last night with the owner. Mike, what happened when there were 5 minutes left? You had the ball and you guys continued to huddle.
Here's the problem. They couldn't decide whether to go for it on fourth down or not because McDaniel was trying to get the message in, and this is what the quarterback hears in his ear.
The challenge ahead to get ready for the Chargers.
What do you want me to do?
That was kind of the...
Tell me! Are we going for it or not? Oh, screw it. We'll just punt. My God, that guy. How about those glasses last night, Lennon?
Throw 10 picks.
Well, luckily only one, although it could have been 3. So, Tomlin came to win. McDaniel came to play it safe. I didn't have that on the old bingo card, but good for Mike. I love that mentality. And now the Steelers have a play that I won't say unstoppable, but close to it. I think Hayward's been stopped in quotes twice this season, and one was a clear first. Actually, I will say twice. because there was the one game where he actually was stopped but got awarded a first down, and then another game where he clearly got the first down but they said he was stopped. Remember those two instances, Limits?
Yes, I do.
Now, last night, I also loved the fact that after he got stopped on third down on a tush push, they went right back to it. Right back to it. When you have Mount Washington pushing from behind, that is a great play. And that's a weapon going into the playoffs. And I think anytime you have even a third and two, I'm not sure I wouldn't go with two tush pushes all the time for the rest of the season. Just keep using it. I love the fact that they did that. In a lot of ways, what the Steelers did last night was the obvious. You know, people in the game make fun of fans and media for, oh, you just think because we're running the ball that we can keep running it? Well, what if they load up to stop the run? No. Just keep doing what's obvious. Something Arthur Smith hasn't done this year. At the beginning of a second half, when you're running the ball at will, keep running the ball at will. Then mix in a play action. It's exactly what they did. The run game was working, so they kept using the run game. The tush push looks unstoppable, so they kept doing it over and over again. Just do what makes sense. Pat Freiermuth is a good pass catcher. Throw the ball to him. That's obvious. Limits. Kenneth Gainwell is playing well. Hand the football to him.
Pass it's the football to DK Metcalf.
Right. Now, he was only targeted three times, but he was 3 for 3.
He was.
Spread the ball around.
MVS got involved.
Yes, he did.
Welcome back, 2019.
And that was, I also think, was thanks to them establishing a little bit of a run in the second half. I thought that Rodgers pecking away served as a running game in the first half. That's really a de facto run game. But sometimes, just do what's obvious. That's all. 412-928-9370. Next.
Here is Dustin on the fan.
Hello, Dustin.
Hello, Joe. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. All right, Joe. I wanted to say first that I agree with you about the skepticism. I was at that game last night, and I look over to my friend and I say, hey, this was deep into the second quarter. And I say, what's going to happen is if they somehow pick this up and look consistent again offensively, I'm going to ask the question, where was this consistency at? And why was it broken from the Ravens game to whenever they pick it up again? And they looked great. And they have a lot of hope inside their numbers. But at the same time, I look at that first quarter in like 3/4 of the second quarter. And I'm like, this feels like a typical Arthur Smith situation where they can't adjust. And for that last drive of the second quarter and the rest of the game, to me, that felt like Aaron Rodgers, because I've seen so much similar pacing from Aaron Rodgers back in Green Bay. It just had him written all over it.
Yeah, it feels like he is at times picking up the pace a little bit with the offense, which I do like. Mm-hmm. And man, a home playoff game with that cadence, not only offensively, but then defensively, to be able to get off the ball just a split second quicker and have the other team struggle with their cadence, that's a big deal for this team. So there are good signs. There are absolutely good signs. But all that skepticism and anger and rage was well-founded based on years of underachieving. And I'm not saying not winning Super Bowls, okay? Not sure anybody expects Super Bowls left and right. They expect you to be competitive or at least come close to winning a playoff game maybe once a decade. So do it. And beating the Dolphins, that was a grade A performance all the way around. Grade A. It brought them to 8-6, and they still might miss the playoffs. So it's all on them to prove it. And until then, all that skepticism remains well-earned. And within that, there are good signs, and it starts with the quarterback. They're going to show up in Detroit with a guy who's hot now, who's feeling good, who I think I'm starting to be swayed a little bit on the Valdez-Scantling. A touchdown will do that. And even Thielen, just that they provide Rodgers with confidence. You know, I'm not sure how much they actually do, But if your most important player feels more confident and secure and better because of their presence, they're worth having. It's almost like Sid having an enforcer around. He feels better. They hadn't worked out so well, especially under Sully, because he didn't play them. But if it means that that guy feels better, then it's worth having him around. Things have changed a little bit. It's a different vibe. Let's see where it goes in Detroit. 412-928-9370 off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the fan hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Saw some mixed reaction around the country today. I love Good Morning Football. And they were all over the Steelers in terms of optimism, like, hey, this team could make a little bit of a run here. And then I was watching, I think, Get Up with all those guys, and it was more like, you know, the Steelers are going to win this division, it looks like, because it's a horrible division, and do we really believe that they're going to advance in the playoffs? So there's a mixed bag, and I think there's reasons for both to feel justified in those opinions at the moment.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
On third down, got it to DK Metcalf. And fighting his way for the touchdown.
What a play by DK. Limits and I just watching Angry Runs back there with Kyle Brandt. Tremendous segment every week. Mount Washington won it earlier this year. What's happening here, oh, Limitless Wonder? It's Puka Nacua, Trey McBride, and Metcalf are the finalists. Who's going to win?
Yeah, Metcalf was the third finalist. I honestly think that DK has the edge here because he scored a touchdown on the Angry Run.
Yeah, he did.
It was great plays by Puka running over a man. McBride ran over three, put a shoulder into two guys, but whenever you put points on the board, doesn't that give you a little bit of extra credit for an angry run?
Yeah, I think it should. Listen to Pomp and Joe every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contest run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. And the 50-minute mark on the fan coming up, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Mike Tomlin's news conference at noon. Nick Farabaugh, top of the hour. We have a lot to talk about. The phone lines are lit like Malzy in a craft beer house, like Pony at the Carrier Dome, like Crowley at Mountaineer Field, and like Benzie jumping off the top rope at a Tomlin news conference. Yes?
Here is Jerry in Stanton Heights.
Hello, Jerry. How are you?
Malzy at his craft beer house.
By the way, did you see Benzie on TV last night?
No.
Looking like $1 million. He had the little... What do you call the little, my grandfather, he was a cop in Brooklyn. He used to wear a little cap.
Those old, like, 1920s looking hats?
Yeah, a little grandfather cap. It was unbelievable, Benzie on TV. Spectacles, a grandpa cap. I expected him to be smoking a pipe while he was talking with Andrew Stockton.
Man, you expected him to be in a black and white TV show.
And Ashley Liotis. She's very good at what she does.
Yeah,
would you agree
is.
With that, Limits?
Proud Baldwin alum.
Yeah, she's really good. Benzie, I thought he took center stage on that thing. Didn't you?
Benzie always comes off the top rope and does an incredible job.
Does. How are you, sir?
Hi, Jerry.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Not much. What's going on?
Hey, we got to give it up to the coaches. Now, we've been bashing them, me included, Tomlin and the offensive coordinator.
Smitty.
I thought he called probably his best game since he's been here.
Yeah, I'm
they
with you.
Up the run,
I'm with
the
you.
Pass.
Great so, A grades all the way around last night. I mentioned, I love the fact. Go ahead.
You remember that 2005 team that we went to the Super Bowl? We struggled, but we got hot right at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can follow their path, you know. But I like the way we look right now.
It's hard not to like the way they looked last night. But again, sort of the theme of the show today, Jerry, is until proven otherwise, I think a lot of us are still in.
Yeah, we're still skeptical, no doubt.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's the Cabales of the world, and I appreciate the call. It's the Cabales of the world that want to paint us, certain media members, and lots of fans as being fly-by-night, over-emotional, week-to-week, changing with the wind. Like, okay, oh, so last week you're this way, this week you're this way. What a bunch of idiots. All they do is react emotionally. No, everything that happened a couple weeks ago in that Bills game was born of 9 years of basically a failure. When you haven't come close to winning a playoff game and going on 9 years, your fan base is going to be disgusted and act out. And 2 weeks of playing better hardly erases that. And there are some good signs. I think that's all accurate. The best sign being that Aaron Rodgers looks like a dangerous quarterback right now. Somebody who might go into Detroit and carve up a secondary that's gone. Like the Steelers played the Bears when the Bears had none of their starting linebackers. I think they're playing the Lions with none of their starting defensive backs. That's a good thing. And I agree with Jerry there. And I mentioned, I like the fact that Mike Tomlin showed up last night in a winning mentality, a risk mentality. He was going to go for it. He went for it more times on fourth down in the first half than at any time in his entire tenure. Awesome. While the other guy, Mike McDaniel, plunged into Marty Schottenheimer mode. What is he thinking? Let's punt on fourth and one, even the 54-yard field goal. Like, I don't subscribe to the theory that hindsight is always 20-20, and if it worked, it was a good decision. That was idiotic. And I can't believe that guy made the field goal, but it was also fourth and five at, like, what, the 33 or something? 34? You go for that.
Yeah, Mike McDaniel coached very timidly in this game.
Timid.
He did not coach like a guy that is fighting to keep his job.
Right.
You know, that's what didn't make sense to me.
They need a new coach and a new quarterback, and that's the other piece of news from last night, is that the Dolphins' winning streak was built mostly on doormats, and they're a complete fraud. Their defense is, I think, wilted as the game went on. Their defense is okay. Their offense, they have a couple of really talented guys. Achan is really good, but Tua stinks, right?
Yeah, Tua's not good.
Leads the league in interceptions. Lucky he didn't have a couple more.
Yeah, 15.
Next.
Here is Seth in Long Island to chime in.
Hello, Seth. What's up? Seth?
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 I'm here.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up? How are you, Joe?
Good.
Good, good. Hey, listen, I just want to agree with everything you said. I am I call myself an optimistic realist, right? So the glass is always half full, but I do need these guys to win in Detroit, and then I'll be more than halfway. You got to stack the wins, and I'd love to see them beat Detroit, beat Cleveland, and the last game just rest everybody. I mean, that's what they've got to do, man.
Yeah, if they win those two and the Ravens lose one, which they certainly could, they could lose both. Who knows? Then it's all over, and that would be just the ideal scenario, is get yourself what amounts to a bye week. Going into a home game, man, that would be nice.
100%.
All right. Thank you for the call. Sunday today, a high of Tom Kuhnhackl. Wow. That's incredible.
Remember him? Stanley Cup champion, Tom Kuhnhackl. Yeah.
Or Verron Haynes. Wasn't he 34? I think he was. I'm sorry if I got that wrong. A low of 14. Kenny Gainwell. Wow. He's the team MVP. I guess maybe Rodgers again at this point. But,
yeah, it is.
But maybe still Kenny Gainwell. Maybe still him.
And
he's
what
been
a player.
Unreal.
What a player he's been. Like when he played for Philadelphia, there were always moments where he would spell Saquon late in games and he would show some flashes of things. So you've got to give credit to Omar Khan. That's probably an Andy Weidel decision after coming over from Philadelphia.
I'm going to give credit to Tomlin. I give demerits to Tomlin when they make bad personnel moves. I think he's largely in charge of that as far as giving the final word. I'll give credit to Tomlin on Kenny Gainwell. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. And yet, we sit here And I feel like I have to remind people that nothing has been decided. Certainly not a playoff spot. The Ravens played very well. They felt like, probably justifiably, that they should have won that game against the Steelers and got robbed on at least one call and dropped a pass at the goal line and probably played well enough in the end to win that game, but they didn't. But if they beat New England at home and if the Steelers lose, then we're really very likely, well, not necessarily. Well, yeah, we are. We're headed very likely then for that last game being for the division, right?
Yeah, very possible, depending on what happens in these next couple of games. But
the Steelers have gotten better.
They have.
There's no question about that. And I do give them credit, starting with Mike and Omar, for going out and finding people to replace guys that they invested in and thought were going to be good. I really do give credit there. You can't stay with your mistakes. You can't live with them. You swallow your pride and you move on from Juan Thornhill. Do you have the Juan Thornhill quote? The one that... Well, he was incredible, all right. So Juan Thornhill, Darius Slay. Who am I missing here, Limit 2? Oh, Roman Wilson. Guys that they invested in and have just simply moved on from, at least for the time being, and some of them permanently. Great. And it looks like they went out, they got Duggar. They moved around. They signed Samuel, who had an interception last night. And like I said, I think Rodgers feels way more comfortable with the wide receiver configuration right now. And MVS catches a touchdown last night. Even Jonnu Smith and Freiermuth were involved more heavily last night. So credit to the people who run this team for that much, for sure. Move on from mistakes, get better people in there. I think pretty clearly and obviously they've done that. Next.
All right, here is our guy Robin West Mifflin to chime in.
Rob, what's up?
Oh, man. A lot of these guys, man, like you said, Joe, I'm not calling in to complain about nothing because from top to bottom, that was the best game they played all probably in a couple years, to be honest with you, man. Like, I mean, A's all the way across the board. And I'm starting to see a side of Tomlin that I haven't seen in a while, and I think it's because of Aaron Rodgers, man.
What do you mean?
Oh, the aggressiveness.
Yeah.
The aggressiveness, man. Like, I think he knows he got a veteran quarterback back there that he can rely on if something goes, you know, left, you know, to the left or right, man. But I'm seeing it yesterday. I'm talking about these fourth downs and our own side of the 50 is like, you won't see that out of him, man. You know,
your 30 is what he did yesterday, and I loved it.
At the 28 to be exact. But yeah, man, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, because we haven't did anything yet, nothing, but win the game. All we did was hold serve because Baltimore won Sunday. But listen, Steelers can be dangerous, man. They can be dangerous. They just play football the way they just played with the 5-yard turnaround. Take what the defense is giving you. And like I said, you got a quarterback back there, man, who can beat you from the shoulders up. And that's a plus, man. I'm telling you, that's a plus.
Hey, when you can beat teams from the shoulders up and you still have a golden arm, that is a pretty good combination right there. I agree with you, Rob. Thank you for the call. What we haven't talked about is the state of the offensive line. Where did Dylan Cook come from? A limitless wonder.
Undrafted free agent they've developed over the last couple of years. And how about the game he had against Bradley Chubb?
I mean, that was spectacular.
Yeah,
and
it wasn't.
Troy Aikman spoke about it. It wasn't him getting tons of help. He got a little bit, but it was a lot of one-on-one. What if they found a gem here? Say Amalu Hurd again, but they've really come together for these two games and played really well. And if you protect that quarterback who thinks the game at this level and still has a rocket arm, well, then we're really, really on to something. And then you throw in a run game, which started to happen in the second half, and who knows? But it was Miami. There is that caveat. Let's see if it happens in Detroit. Maybe they build on that. Bottom line is, it's a pretty feel-good day around here. And you can feel good and still be highly skeptical and still be highly justified in acting out, you know, in booing and things like that if it goes south again. Nothing is necessarily fixed around here. They might not even make the playoffs, but this is a feel-good day. There's no doubt. Hope has sprung a little bit, Limits, and hope is the most precious commodity in all of sports.
Hope springs eternal.
That's why we love the draft. That's why we always talk about prospects in hockey and baseball. We all just want to have some hope. And the Steelers suddenly have some. And that's a good thing. Coming up, Nick Faribault. Want to ask him about Dylan Cook and Patrick Queen. And a hell of a play that Nick Herbig made early in the game that when you watch the replay from different angles, Achan maybe scores on that play. When he was down on the ground and reached his arm up, made a little arm bar, and basically stopped him. That's a gigantic play early in the game.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.